Welcome to Queensway Pentecostal Church, leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed and inspired by today's message.
Good morning. Lovely to be here. At my place. Oh, how was your weekend, people?
It's Family Day weekend. Should have hung out with family. Did some fun things. Speaking of family, my family's here. Well, at least my parents are. My parents are right here. Dave and Nancy Humphreys, yes. Yeah, they came in to support me, so it's really good to have them here. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. So speaking of family, I want to talk about the different values and roles that we have in family. Highlighting some of the roles, so the supportive ones, the encouraging ones, the giving ones, the workers, the carers, the teachers, the believers, and the prayers. Now, I can put a name to each of those roles as people in my biological family, but also in my church family. Yeah, so also my church family. So those roles are gifts that God has given to each individual people to create a healthy and supportive system. Just like the body needs all the different individual people that are united by the Holy Spirit to work for Christ. So the main passage of today's message is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 27. So just a little bit of background knowledge. 1 Corinthians was a letter written by Paul. He was actually in Ephesus when he wrote the letter to the Corinthian church. And because he helped create the church. Because they were new Christians, the letter is more of an instruction manual, basically how the church should and shouldn't be as a body. Yeah. So the people of Corinth were not a united body. They would show off their gifts, show off their wealth to the people around them, and this would often cause disunity and division within the church. But the church is actually supposed to be a place of unity under God, a place where people come to be safe and loved and just accepted. The people of the Corinthian church had many problems with the spiritual gifts and sexual immorality specifically. The people that surrounded them were very spiritual people. They were in different religions, and they used those gifts that they got from their other religions and sex to get higher power over other people and use that against them. So naturally, this kind of started to happen within the Corinthian church because that's the culture that they were surrounded with, that's what they grew up with, that's what they were used to. But Paul basically called them out on it because that's not how the spiritual gifts that God gives are supposed to work. Yeah, so the people, yeah, so they would use their gifts and show off to others within the church. And they'd be loud, over-dramatic, over-the-top, just showing off, look what I can do, I have a great gift, look at me, I can do this, do this great thing. So yeah, this started to cause a division in the church because others couldn't do the certain gifts that other people had, the ones that were showing off and being loud. Yeah, so Paul called them out on it. He told them that through the Holy Spirit, they were united under God. See, I love reading Paul's letters because he's just so to the point. He doesn't beat around the bush. He doesn't say, give suggestions, you know, this, you could do this and it could work. No, he doesn't. He spoke directly to the different churches that when he wrote letters to and touched on each of the problems that they had. Nothing was left under the rug or whatever. He touched on everything. And he spoke directly to them because Paul knew what he was talking about. Because one, he was part Roman and part Jewish, so he was in the synagogues learning from the rabbis from a young age. From being Jewish, he had that knowledge and he had that standing to go to the synagogues and learn. And he was Roman, so he could go into other places as a Roman and learn from different places as well. Number two, Paul knew the people that he was writing to. He knew the people. He knew their culture, their everyday lives, because he had spent time there. Paul would go to the different cities for months or years, living with the people, knowing their culture, and speaking to them, making connections, and speaking God's truth into the lies that their culture were saying. So every place that he went, he would first speak to the Jewish people in the synagogues, and then he would preach to the Gentiles. Yeah. So then, and number three, he was in communication with God. So once he had his conversion, he knew the voice of God. He knew how to follow it. Overall, Paul is a pretty cool guy. I would definitely suggest reading more about his amazing testimony, that he went from being a persecuting Christians to being a Christian missionary himself. So I'd highly recommend reading it in Acts. It's pretty cool. He's a pretty cool guy. He's pretty great to have on your team as well. If he's that scary when he was persecuting you, imagine how great he is when he's on your team. Okay. So now back to the people in Corinth. So yeah, they struggled with their spiritual gifts because they would use them to overpower others and to get attention. So we can often feel left out or compare ourselves to others, to the people that get more attention from just their naturally who they are or from the gifts that they have. And they like to get attention. And these thoughts of being left out or comparing ourselves to others can often lead to jealousy and division. And if we begin to let those thoughts shift, then how we see those people, but it can also shift how we see ourselves. We can often put these people on pedestals, think, wow, they're so great, but then the people that are lower them is like, wow, yeah, they're so great, look how great they can do things. So you begin to think negatively of them, and then you also begin to think negatively of yourself. It's like, I can't do that, I can't do that, so like, what do I got to do? But it's important to remember is that God created each of us to be different. We all have unique gifts that God has given us to build up each other. The different gifts work together to build up the body of Christ. So my first point for this is we are the body connected by Christ. And we're going to start reading 1 Corinthians verses 12 to 14. It's on the screen. There you go. Now it's on the screen. If you don't have your Bibles, you can read it up there. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but in all parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made of one part, but many. So, this passage is just confirming that each of us are different parts of the body. Each part is different. The arms are different compared to the toes, the nose is compared different to the heart and the arms. Everything is different. Yeah, so Paul compares the body of Christ to the human body, the physical human body. So the body of Christ is made up of teachers, healers, prayer warriors, servant hearts, and even more. Each gift and person has a function that is important to the body, with Jesus in control of the body, whether that be the head or the heart, I can't decide, because they're both important. I think it's important to remember that we are still individuals within the body of Christ. We're still individual people within the whole body of Christ. When it says we were all baptized by one Spirit as to form one body, it means when we accepted Jesus into our lives that we were then became part of the body, became part of Jesus' family altogether. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are all, as the body, we are individual parts. We all have individual gifts and abilities, and we should be using our gifts together to spread the word of God. We as the body of Christ represent who God is. We need to be showing that love and forgiveness and acceptance to others, but we can't do that effectively if we're not showing that same love, acceptance, and forgiveness to others. That's something to remember. Good. Because we can't effectively give to others what we're not giving to our own family. Okay, so my next point is we are all different. We are created by God. So continuing with verses 15 to 20. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I think that's a great representation. It's like, hey, like, I'm not part of the body. Plops off. Well, that doesn't happen. You can't just not be part of the body anymore. Sorry, guys. So God took his time to create all of us differently. You're not simply a photocopy of the same person. We think different, we act different, we talk differently. It's sometimes very obvious that we talk differently. I told this to the junior highs a few weeks ago that God created the stars and the moon in a day, all the mountains and the trees just in one day. But he took 9 months to create each of us. In Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 to 14, reads this. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. See, each of us have gifts and abilities to attribute to the body. We all have something to give because God created us that way. We're all created differently, and that's pretty cool. So yeah, so an example of this is that each of us, just because one person or a gift is not getting the same attention as another, does not mean that it's any less important. If we didn't have toes on our feet, we wouldn't be able to keep balance. You're wobbling everywhere. Can't keep balance. Have to have your toes. Okay, and if we didn't have a nose, we wouldn't be able to taste or smell anything, and that would suck. And so, yeah, so if we don't have people with the heart to serve, then nothing would get done. If we don't have teachers, no one would learn what they don't understand. If we don't have givers, then we wouldn't have funds or supplies for the workers to use to get things done. We all work together. If we didn't have prayer warriors, we wouldn't be covered in prayer wherever we are every day. And that's important. We can't all have the same gifts to use the same way, because then it's not a body. We can't all be an arm, because then there's no body to be connected with. If you're just an arm, you're just laying there. You're not very useful. Not very useful at all. No one has the same gifts. If no one has the same gift, no one has a gift that's not important. It is simply us as humans, that put more praise on one gift rather than others. We do that. We as people, we rate gifts from most important to not so important, from like 1 to 10. This one's important. It's kind of important. That's what we do. But to God, they're all equal parts. So while we make a list of important things like this, God makes it like this, horizontally. So when you go like that, and then each gift has a line of people that are assigned to it, give it to it. So yeah, that's pretty cool. That's how we put them. Yeah, so if we were all an eyeball, we wouldn't have a function because we're not connected to the body. It'd be useless on its own. Just imagine just a bunch of eyeballs rolling around, or just arms or legs. It'd be kind of gross, kind of weird. You're like, whoa, what the heck's going on? Yeah, pretty gross. But they don't have a function unless they're connected to the body. Like, yeah, your arm just falls off. It's not doing anything. It's just going to sit there unless it's reattached to the body, because when it's attached, you can use it to do things. Pray for people, touch things, hold things, other things. Yeah. Yeah. So our individuality is an example of God's creative abilities, our different testimonies, our different, just how our lives are. It shows how God works in our lives. It's a testimony to other people that can connect to you. Just because we don't all have the same testimony doesn't mean it's not important. So my next point is, we're all different, but we work together. So continuing with verse 20 to 27. Yeah, so 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indisposable. And the parts we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that it lacked, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and none of you, and each of you, have a part of it. So again, Paul just confirmed that we ourselves put value on different body parts, on different gifts. We as humans, we see them as a natural order. That's just how we see things. We set a bar for each person and what each person should and shouldn't be able to do. Certain age people shouldn't be able to make certain decisions. Certain genders shouldn't be able to do certain actions. But that's how we as humans see and understand the world. But God does not see that way. He doesn't see those expectations and those limitations. God designed us to be different, like a puzzle. We all fit together. And when we fit together, we show the love of Christ and how he reaches out to those who need him. God uses the underdog to do his work. People that we don't think will be good at their job, he uses them. An important example of that would be King David, as an example. He was not what everyone thought a new king should be. He was so much not what they thought that when Samuel came to David's house, he was still out in the field. His dad didn't even bother to call him in. He's like, no, you stay with your sheep. It's fine. We'll get your older brothers that are more kingly. Will be considered to be king. But only when Samuel went through all the guys and God's like, nope, not him. Nope, not him. Not him either. Trust me, not him. God, and Samuel's like, okay, do you have anyone else? Any other sons? And he's like, well, I mean, you've got the youngest in the field. And he's just back there. He's like, oh, go get him. Might as well see. And then that was David. God's like, this is him. And Samuel anointed him. God uses what we see as weak and undesirable. He uses those people to bring his presence out. And it's amazing. Yeah, the church body is to work with the different talents and gifts that we have to achieve God's plan, to reach others and to bring them into the family of Christ. Without the dreamers, we wouldn't have a vision. Without the leaders, we wouldn't have someone to achieve that vision, to lead us to that vision. Each person works together because all have weaknesses. My weaknesses is someone else's strength. I personally do not have a lot of upper body strength, so I can't do a lot of heavy lifting and building, but you know what? Someone else can. And those are the people that are the doers, and they'll fix those things, they'll build those things when you have a vision, and they'll do them. So God has a plan for each of us. He will lead, he will use our gifts, our talents and abilities, our stories to bring people to him. Instead of comparing our gifts and our talents and our abilities and our stories, we should be encouraging each other. We can't be seeing the negatives and I don't have that, they have it, I don't have that. Well, then look in the positives, what you do have, and encourage each other to use each other's gifts. Yeah, so some people, you know, some people just can't go out and talk to random people, but others can. I, for one, cannot do that. I know. But others can. Others are really good at it, and like, you go right ahead. You go right ahead. Some others can't. Some people have life-changing stories, just amazing testimonies of what they've done. Other people, you know, they have like pretty steady life. That's me. I have a pretty steady life. But that just means that my story can relate to the people that also have had pretty steady lives. And people who have had life-changing experiences, they can relate and connect with people that also have had those kind of experiences, those deep life experiences. And we're all able to relate to each other. We work together like the different parts of the body to do God's work. We need to be proud of the gifts that we have, but remain humble so that God can continue to use them. We need to support and be thankful for all the gifts that make up the body. We need to encourage each other and keep using our gifts. Don't be discouraged because your gift isn't as high and mighty as another one. Because to God, they're all in the same field and they're all used to achieve his kingdom. This is so important that we become unified as a church, as a family of Christ. Because when we're not together, that's when the enemy could come in and wiggle his way in and just cause ruckus with us. And that we can't let that happen. Yeah. So Paul is like, this is a very important message throughout the Bible, first of all, because God, Jesus, when he was on earth, he sat and ate with people that the Jews considered unvaluable or undesirable. He didn't care about your social standing, if you were sick, if you were well, if you were rich, or if you were poor. He ate with you. He sat with you. He did life with you. It didn't matter to him. And Paul also wrote, this is so important that he wrote it twice, to be part of the body, to be unified. This is in Ephesians and here in 1 Corinthians. Funny connections, because Paul was in Ephesus when Ephesians, when he wrote the letters to the Corinthians. I thought that was pretty cool. So yeah, so as we are connected, we need to be with each other. As people, we need to be connected. It's one of our core needs, is to be connected with people, be in communion with people, and just be in community and be with another. So, and God obviously made us that way. So we have to be united with him to make the body and to reach out to others, to do his ministry, to go out and show people what the love of God is, to show that acceptance to him as a body, to come together, because we are his family. And there's people out there who don't have a family, who don't know the love of Christ, who don't know what love is. So we as a body have to go out with our different gifts and our abilities and our life stories and our situations to go out and reach those people who don't know him. You don't know his love. You don't know his forgiveness. Because there's people out there who believe that God doesn't love them because of what they've done. And that's not true. God loves you no matter what you do. And we need to spread that to people who think that way. Because that's a lie from the devil. And I don't accept that. So, division and comparison are something that's used against the church. It keeps us separate and thinking spitefully of each other. The church needs to come together because we are united by God to work together, because there's power in numbers. And in closing, if we all work together to achieve God's works, then we are a united force to be reckoned with. And if God is with us, then really, who can stand against us?
Thank you for listening to this week's message. If you would like more information on who we are, visit our website at qpcespanola.com.